Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Crosspoint Church.
Hey Crosspoint, I'm Katie Birkenpass. I'm a charge nurse in the medical ICU at St. Thomas West, and my unit has been converted into the COVID-19 ICU for this time. So there have been a lot of changes. Kind of my biggest source of anxiety, and I think for most of the people that I work with as well, is just the fear of bringing home the virus, spreading it to my roommates, and causing harm to people that I love. But the biggest source of comfort for me during this time has been Psalm 23. And what really stuck out to me was verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I know you are with me. And what I learned is that I can give this whole situation the title, The Valley of the Shadow of Death. And if I know I'm walking into the valley of the shadow of death each time I'm walking into my shift, I also know that I don't have to fear because God is with me. I'm just so blessed to work on an amazing unit. I have a fantastic team. It's just been such a blessing also to hear from so many friends and family, just with words of encouragement and prayers. Even just small words of encouragement make a big impact. So thank you for that. I pray that you all are being well and safe, and that we can come back to worship corporately again soon.
Thank you, Katie. And you know, as a church, we just want to take a moment and just pray for you. So Father, we thank you for Katie. We thank you for your work in her life. We thank you for your love for her. We pray that right now you would fill her with your Spirit, God, that you would fill her with your power, with your strength, and with your love. God, we pray for your protection. We pray a blessing of your protection over Katie and over her friends and the relationships that she has. And God, we pray that you would give her uncommon strength in this time. Lord, that you would give her the skill that she needs, that you give her the grace that she needs. And Lord, we pray that people would find healing through the gifts that you've given her and through your power on her life. And God, we pray that other people would see Jesus in her, that they would experience the love of Jesus through her. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've been in Nashville for a while, you probably know where we're at. We're at the War Memorial Auditorium. It's this beautiful space. It was built back in 1925, and it was created to memorialize the heroes who fought in the battles of World War I. And it seems like the right place for us to begin this series because all of life just kind of feels like a battle right now. I mean, people that we love and that we know are battling sickness, and friends and family are in healthcare fighting on the front lines. And while it's not life or death, business is a battle. And there are financial struggles, and there are struggles in marriage and in family and relationships. And like even the most basic things in life are hard right now, like keeping food in the pantry and toilet paper on the roll. I mean, the struggle is real, especially if you're a mom that's quarantined with little kids. I mean, if you're working and doing homeschooling, we just want you to know we see you. And they tell us to be kind to everyone we meet because everyone is fighting a hard battle in life. And that's true right now. And sometimes we take a metaphor like battle and we use it in sports. I mean, one time I was playing football and I broke my nose. Don't look at me and be impressed because it takes absolutely zero talent to break your nose. But when I looked down my hands, I realized that there was blood pouring all over the place. And somebody said, put pressure on it. And it was after that's when I knew that it was broken, because pressure finds the fracture. And here's the deal. There is so much pressure in our lives right now. We are finding fractures that we didn't even know existed. We're finding fractures in our faith, in our family, in our character, in our relationships, which is good because we need God. And we need God to heal it. But before God can heal it, he needs to reveal it. Because you can't win a battle with an enemy that you're pretending doesn't exist. So I wonder, like, when you look at your life, like, what battles are you facing right now? Because we have a lot of different battles, but there's one battle we all have in common, and it's this. It's winning the war within. And the war within is in our own hearts and our minds. It's the fear and the anxiety. It's the doubt and the discouragement. It's dealing with the disappointment. And maybe dealing with loneliness like you've never known. And maybe you're struggling with addiction and you're struggling with demons from your past. Or maybe you're struggling, like we all struggle, with comparison and pride and lust and unforgiveness and insecurity and control issues. You know, in his first message in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, I've come to bring healing to your hearts. I've come to set your hearts free. And Jesus wants to do for our hearts what God did for the nation of Israel in Egypt. I mean, remember, they were slaves there for 400 years, and they cried out to God. They're like, God, we need you to send a deliverer. We need you to deliver us. So God sent Moses to deliver his people and lead them into the promised land. And it was a trip that should have taken about 40 days, but it ended up taking 40 years because their bodies were free, but their hearts were still captive. And they struggled, like they struggled to trust God. And so after 40 years later, they were finally ready to enter the promised land, and Moses was dead, but God appointed Joshua. He called Joshua to lead. And y'all, it was a scary time for Israel. They were anxious, they were afraid. It was a time full of uncertainty. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know where they'd live. They didn't know how they'd survive. And so there was real fear in their hearts, because there were real battles with real enemies. They were entering into hostile territory. And God chooses Joshua, which is an interesting first round draft pick, because Joshua was a man who struggled with fear. Joshua had his own bouts with worry like us. And see, I find it refreshing, and maybe you do too, that one of like the greatest heroes in the Old Testament struggled with worry like we do. But before Joshua could go out and lead other people, he had to lead himself. He had the war to win that was within. Now, I believe that this is an important study for us, because like the nation of Israel, we're all at a place we've never been before. There's uncertainty and there's real fear. And this series matters for you because you need to get this. You're somebody's Joshua. Right now, there are people who are looking to you. They're looking to you for help. They're looking for you for hope. They're looking to you for life and for leadership. There's people in your family. Their kids are looking to you. You got a spouse maybe that's looking to you. You got other family members that are looking to you. Maybe there are people at work. There are friends that you have in the community. There are neighbors that you have. They're looking to you for life and for leadership. And you have influence. Like, you have a calling. See, I don't know if you've thought about this, but just like Joshua had a calling, you have a calling. There's a call of God on your life. And the enemy wants you to buy into the lie that your life doesn't matter and that your life is insignificant, but you have a calling. God has put you on this planet on purpose and for a purpose. And God doesn't play favorites, which means your life matters to God as much as Joshua's. You have a calling. And no matter what kind of mess you've made in the past, no matter what kind of regrets you have, it's not too late to get in on God's call on your life. See, he's called you to himself, and he's called you to a life of character, which you can't do without his help. He's called you to relationships, and he's called you to a specific work that he has for you to do. You know, that word vocation that we use a lot, it comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. You have a call within that God's placed in your life. Listen, you may have lost your job, but you haven't lost your calling. When all the dust settles, you'll find something to put your hand to again, because God is sovereign and you have a calling. And listen, if you want to know your calling, the best encouragement I can give you is draw close to the caller, because he loves you and he speaks. But when he speaks, it's with a whisper. And he wants you to know him, though. He wants you to know him more than he wants you to know where you'll get your next paycheck. See, God wants a relationship with you. And when he made you, he knew that you'd be alive during this pandemic. It didn't catch him off guard. He's not surprised. He's not sitting on the edge of his throne, wringing his hands, worrying about what's coming next. God is busy. He's busy what? He's busy working. What's he doing? Well, he's taking what the enemy meant for evil and he's turning it for good. I mean, think about Easter. Churches all over the world are empty. And God says, I'll turn homes into houses of worship. and more people will hear the gospel than ever before in history. Businesses have closed their doors, and God says, I'll turn up generosity in the hearts of my people, and people will give and they'll share with their neighbors. I'll provide. Government mandates stay at home, and God says, I'm gonna slow things down, and I'm gonna turn it on its head, and I'm gonna remind everyone what matters in life. People, community, relationships, and a relationship with me. And see, we're calling this series Battles and Blessings because we've got both of those things going on in our life at the same time. We've got battles and we've got blessings. You talk to some people and all they see are the battles. You talk to some people, it's like, how are things going? They're like, not good. Like, I could complain, but nobody's listening. They have the spiritual gift of Eeyore, right? You got some people, all they see are the battles. But then you have other people and all they see are the blessings. You're like, how are you doing? They're like, I'm awesome. I'm awesome. Everything's awesome. And I'm like, have you met 2020 yet? Have you been living in this year? See, the reality is there are battles and blessings going on in our life all the time. And no matter how good things are, there's always something to work on. And no matter how bad things are, we've always got something to be grateful for. See, we all have both battles and blessings in our lives. And I think this is maybe one of the most important series that we've ever done because I believe that God wants to pour out His Spirit. God wants to move in our church and He wants to give you the grace to fight the battles and to find the blessings. This is not a time to let insecurity own us. It's not a time to retreat and withdraw. It's a time to let faith rise up and get a vision of God that is bigger than the giants that we're up against. To put your trust in Jesus. Let Him fill you with the Spirit and give you all of what you need to win the war within. See, Joshua's story is gonna teach us how to do that. But Joshua's story doesn't start at the beginning of the book of Joshua. It doesn't start at the sixth book of the Bible. It starts in the second book of the Bible. It starts in the book of Exodus. Before God called Joshua to be the leader, God called Joshua to Himself. Before Joshua was appointed to lead, God was preparing Joshua for what He prepared for him. And God's always preparing us. He's working behind the scenes through people and circumstances to test us, to shape us, to form us. Listen, I bet that you can look in the rearview mirror of your life and you can go back and you can see how God has used people and circumstances and events and pivotal moments that He's used them to shape you, to make you who you are right now. Last month, on March 2nd, Rhea and I, we were out in Phoenix and we were with a group of pastors and their wives. And March 2nd is just hard to remember because it was like 300 days ago. But we were talking with these other couples and one of the pastors said, we live in San Diego, but I'm from Georgia. And I'm like, no way, like we're from Georgia. And he said, I'm from Gwinnett. And I'm like, no way, we're from Gwinnett. And then he told us his story. He said, after his dad left at 14, he just kind of lost his way. And he ended up almost dropping out and enrolled in a technical school. And he said that there was an English teacher that he had that read one of his papers. And she said, I've taught English in this county for over 30 years, and this is one of the best papers I've ever read. And she said, are you going to college? And he's like, no. And she said, well, I want you to take the SAT this weekend. I'll get you in. And so he took the SAT and he ended up getting into a great school. And then he said, you know what? That teacher, she changed my life. And I said, what's her name? And he said, Nancy Ward. And I'm like, no way, because I know Nancy Ward. Like, she's my friend. And then he said, I asked him, I was like, have you ever told her this? And he's like, no. He said, I've always wanted to. And I'm like, man, I've got her number. But here's the deal, I didn't have my phone. And so we had to call her on my Apple Watch, which just kind of, it killed the vibe. Like, because she answered and he's talking into my wrist. And he said, I need to tell you thank you. He said, I've thought about you once a week for at least 20 years. He said, you've changed my life. And she had no idea. Like, he's crying and she's crying and his wife is crying and I'm kind of tearing up. And I'm not really crying because he's talking to my wrist and I was getting a cramp and it's just kind of awkward. But like, I started thinking, like, who are the people that God's put in your life who have shaped you, who have formed you, and who have helped you become who you are today? Like, what if this week, if you've got the time, I'm just kidding, I know, we all know you've got the time, but what if you just reach out to them, and what if you say thank you? What if you write them a note, or send them an email, or shoot a text, or call them? Like, call on your phone, not your watch. Like, just reach out to them and say thank you. When I broke my nose, I had a concussion. And the paramedics started asking questions and I started getting them wrong. Because when you have a concussion, you get confused about the things that you should know. And listen, when we face a crisis, like we faced, it's a concussion to the soul. But something happens when we reconnect with somebody who believed in us. It reminds us. It reminds us who we are and whose we are and what we're called to do. It's like Rocky and Mickey. It's like Luke and Obi-Wan. It's like Nancy Ward and every student that she ever taught. But think about, who's that person who believed in you? See, for Joshua, it was Moses. And for 40 years, Joshua, he served Moses. He was Moses' apprentice. He was his assistant. He was his servant. He served Moses. And I saw something this week that I've never seen before. It's in the scriptures. And it's in Numbers chapter 13. I want to share it with you. Numbers chapter 13, verse 16. And it tells us that Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Now, I did a little research and I looked it up, and Hoshea means salvation. And Joshua means God is my salvation. Moses changed Joshua's name. He changed his name from I'm trusting myself to save myself to I'm trusting God. And I believe that this happened after what took place in Exodus 17. In Exodus 17, there's this battle that takes place. It's the first time we see Joshua in the scriptures, and it's the first time that the Israelites are facing battle in the wilderness. But before this, they were slaves in Egypt. They weren't trained for warfare. They were trained in how to make bricks. I mean, so they would win at a brick-making contest, but they're not really skilled and resourced for fighting in battle. And the Amalekites attack, and Moses tells Joshua, get an army together, be the general, and go and fight. And then Moses, he goes up on a hill, and he overlooks the entire battlefield. And while they're battling, while they're fighting, while Joshua is leading them, Moses has his hands up in prayer. And the Israelites are winning when Moses has his hands up, and when Moses puts his hands down, they start losing. And Moses gets tired. And so he goes and he sits on a rock, and he has a couple friends who help him lift up his hands in prayer until the Israelites defeated the enemy. And I imagine after the battle, they're all cheering, they're high-fiving, they're doing post-game interviews with Hoshea and salvation, rescuer, deliverer, the one who saves. And Moses pulls him aside and he tells him the rest of the story. He says, Hoshea, when you were down there fighting, I was up on that hill praying. And when I had my hands up, you were winning. And when I dropped my hands, you stopped winning. Hoshea, you're good, but you're not that good. You may have been fighting the battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. You're not Hoshea anymore. You're Joshua. From the one who saves himself to God is the one who saves. For 40 years, Joshua introduced himself as Hoshea, but not anymore. Now he's Joshua. Now, after a concussion, you know what one of the first questions a paramedic asks? What's your name? You know why? Because if you get your name wrong, that's a big deal, right? And Moses is saying, Joshua, don't get your name wrong. It's not trusting yourself, it's trusting God. And some of us have been getting our name wrong for so long. We've made our lives about trusting our name, trusting our strengths, trusting our success, trusting our intellect, trusting our good deeds, trusting our plans, trusting our money, trusting what other people think of us. And this crisis has brought us to this point where we've come to our senses and we realize we can't save ourselves. Only God can save us. And if you want to win the battle, Joshua teaches us, if you want to win the battle, you have to trust in something bigger than yourself. You have to trust in God because the battle belongs to the Lord. And I'll tell you what I do sometimes. Sometimes when I'm praying, I'm at the end of myself. I'll just lift my hands and I'll say, God, I'm trusting in you. God, I can get trust in me. I trust in you. You alone are my salvation. And this prayer was this pivotal moment for Joshua's life, because from this moment on, Joshua's pursuing God. He's like, God, if you're the one who saves me, I'm pursuing you. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, it says that when Moses, when he set out and he went up and he climbed up the Mount Sinai, he's climbing up the mountain and Joshua goes with him up the mountain, and Joshua goes as far as he can go up the mountain with him because Joshua wants to be near God. I mean, Joshua wanted to be near Moses, but more than that, Joshua wanted to be near God. In Exodus, let's see, I think it's Exodus chapter 33, we find this, that Moses would go into the tent of meeting. And he would go into the tent of meeting and meet with God. Whenever he would meet with God, this cloud would come and rest on the tent to symbolize God's presence being there. And Joshua, his assistant, would be with him. And in verse 11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Like normally, like prophets, they would get pictures, but saying he's having a conversation with God. God wants to have a conversation with us. And then Moses would return to the camp to tell the people the message that God gave him. But it says his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. That Joshua lingered at the tent, that he lingered in the presence of God, that he waited, that he didn't want to leave. So let me ask you a question, like when was the last time you just lingered with God? You know that moment when everybody leaves the Zoom call? And, you know, they're like, some people just left in the call. God wants to know, like, who are the people? They're just going to linger with me in prayer. The people who aren't just going to bounce and leave. When was the last time you lingered with God? Like, we know how to linger. We know how to linger with Facebook and linger with Instagram and linger on TikTok and linger in the news. But, like, do you know how to linger with God? I don't know about you, but it's a battle to linger because there is a battle for my attention. Like, there's this constant temptation when I'm trying to pray for distraction, like to check my email and to check the news and check social media. And have you ever wondered why it's like so hard to pray? Like, why is prayer one of the hardest things? Could it be that the enemy knows that that's where the battle is won? And maybe the enemy wants to do everything he can to keep you from lingering, to keep you from praying. And so sometimes I'll throw my phone across the room. Sometimes I'll leave my phone in the other room. Sometimes I'll power it off. Sometimes I'll just lift my hands. Sometimes I'll get on my face, because the longer I linger with God, the bigger my understanding of who God is becomes in my heart and my mind. And if Joshua could mentor us, if he could pull alongside us and speak from his story, he would say, don't waste your wilderness. Like, don't waste this time. Draw near to God. Spend time with him. Worship him. Listen to him. Sit in silence. Put your nose on the carpet and wait on the Lord. Open up the Bible. Ask God to speak to you. Pray for other people. Pray with other people. Linger in his presence, because his nearness is your good. So don't waste your wilderness. Like, I think a year from now, we're going to look back at how we spent this time, and we'll have to ask ourselves the question, did I draw near to God? Did I learn to hear his voice? Did I linger in his presence? And drawing near to God right now is how we keep from wasting our wilderness. Drawing near to God is how we find his blessings in the midst of the battles. And I've been thinking about something. What if God chose Joshua after the wilderness because Joshua chose God in the wilderness? Let me say that again. What if God chose Joshua to lead after the wilderness because God was chosen by Joshua by his lingering in the wilderness? Joshua made the choice to linger with God, and as he lingered, God was preparing him for the battles that he had ahead. So let me close with a story that just illustrates this. In Numbers chapter 13, and you can read through that passage, it's a great story, but in Numbers chapter 13, they're on the edge of the promised land. I'll just summarize it for you. And it's taken a year to get there. And there's like a million people that are getting ready to go in. And Moses picks 12 men. He picks Joshua and Caleb and 10 other men. And he tells them, I want you to be scouts. I want you to be spies. I want you to go in to the promised land, scout out the land. Tell us how it is. Bring back a report. And so they went into the land for 40 days. And when they come back, Joshua and Caleb are carrying a cluster of grapes that's so big it takes both of them to carry it. And they're like, the land is good, man. The fruit is good. There's milk and honey. This place is amazing. And the 10 other guys are like, yeah, but the cities, they have big walls and they're fortified and there are giants there. There are people that are so big that make us look like grasshoppers. And they spread this message of fear, which sounds a lot like the news cycle right now. True? All they saw were the battles, but Joshua and Caleb, they knew the battles were there, but they saw the blessings. They're like, the land is good. This is what they said. They said, the land is good. The Lord has given it to us. Let's go take the land. But the other 10 spread a bad report. Like, they spread, because fear is contagious. And fear spread throughout the camp. And because the people were terrified, the people said, hey, we want to kill Moses and we want to go back to Egypt. And that entire generation had to wait another 40 years. In fact, that entire generation died off before they came. Joshua and Caleb were the only two from their generation that got to enter in the promised land. 10 saw the giants, but Joshua and Caleb, like, they saw the grapes. 10 of them were focused on the risks, but 2 of them saw the opportunity. 10 were like, man, there are giants that make us look like grasshoppers. But then there were 2 that said, our God is so big, he makes grasshoppers out of giants. 10 were focused on the size of their enemy, but Joshua was focused on the size of his God, because he knew how to linger in the presence. And the more he lingered in the presence of God, the bigger his vision of God became. So my encouragement for you is, don't waste your wilderness. Draw near to God. He wants to draw near to you. And as you linger in his presence, he prepares you for the battles that are ahead. And this is so cool. Like, when you flip over in the scripture and you look in the book of Matthew, look in Matthew chapter 1. This angel's speaking to Joseph and he's given this word. He said, you're gonna have a son. And I want you to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. And the name Jesus, that's the Greek pronunciation of the Hebrew word Yeshua, what we pronounce Joshua, like the one who saves. Jesus is our Joshua who leads us into the promised land, and he gives the blessing, which means no matter what battle you're facing right now, he gives you his blessing. And so what we want to do is we want to end this time today, and we want to sing a blessing over you. We want to sing a blessing over your family. We want to sing a blessing over our city. We want to sing a blessing over our state. But the greatest blessing, hear me, the greatest blessing you could receive right now is a relationship with God. And that's the way to redeem this wilderness, that you could say that in that pandemic, I found God, I found a relationship with him, to put your trust in him so that you don't have to battle anxiety and fear on your own anymore, that he would set your heart free. That's what he came to do, that you could have a relationship with him. And so if you want to put your trust in him, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. You can just repeat it after me. You just bow your heads and close your eyes as you listen to this. You just repeat this prayer after me. Just make it your prayer. You can just whisper it to God or say it aloud. And say, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to bring freedom to my heart, to save me from my sin. And today I put my trust in you to receive your grace, to receive your forgiveness. And I give you my life. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and help me win the war within and to live the life that you've called me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Your family. Oh.